we say Moshe Rabbeinu critiques the last 38 years in the desert. And it's not so clear. I don't want to get into it, but if you remember the first psukim in Dvarim, Rashi explains every word in the first psukim as referring to a different event in Jewish history, where the Jews were supposed to be critiqued by Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, there are two general notions about Musar. You know, when you try to talk at somebody in the hope that they will improve the way they act, that's called Musar. So Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not clear why Moshe Rabbeinu is standing on the edge of the land of Canaan, about to enter to give over the reins to Yoshua ben Nun, that Moshe Rabbeinu decided to talk about all the bad things that Bnei Yisrael did in the desert. So then you have two theories. One theory is that going into Eretz Canaan is going to bring new challenges. So it's important to remind the people that in the past they sinned, and because they sinned, they were punished. And because they were punished, they were in the desert for 38 years. And because they were in the desert for 38 years, the conquest of Eretz Canaan was pushed off that amount of time. It's important to tell them that. The Ramban has a different take on it. The Ramban is in his introduction to his commentary to the book of Dvarim. The Ramban says, back from the wars. Are there wars? Are there still wars? No. So the Ramban says, no, that was not Moshe Rabbeinu's intention at all. His intention was to say to Bnei Yisrael, look, you've been through this difficult time in the desert, and God was always with you. Even in the worst of times, in the worst of punishments, God was with you. And therefore, you should be optimistic about your success in Eretz Canaan. So it looks like Musar. You know, Musar is kind of a word that engenders depression. Like, I feel badly because I was so bad. You know, or something like that. But the Ramban turns it around and he says, Musar is about being optimistic. That after all, God has helped us till now, even though there have been punishments, etc. But I'm optimistic about the future, right? And that's not that I want to talk about that, but you know that's the real theme of Tisha B'Av. You know, Tisha B'Av. Who are we, and what will we be? Because it really, I don't mean this in the way it sounds. I'm saying this for the purpose of the recording. But that it's really irrelevant to us that the Beit HaMikdash does not exist. What is relevant is what's going to be. Right, that's like let's say you were sure, we were sure, people were sure that there would never be another Beit HaMikdash. So we'd all go up to the roof and jump. I mean, it's over, right? In other words, Jewish history came to an end. But we don't think the Jewish history came to an end. We think it's going on. It's just that it's like a quip in our style. Like you know, it's not, it sort of like got messed up a little, but it'll straighten itself out. That's what Tisha B'Av is about, and that's why after Tisha B'Av, everybody runs to eat food. Eating food is not a sign that you think it's all over, but it's rather a sign that you think you'd like to continue to live. So that's the thing about Tisha B'Av. You have to feel badly about what happened, but you have to decide what the implication of Tisha B'Av is for the future. Right, so you know that's why you have all the slichot. The end of slichot is arranged in a very nice way, but at the end, the first of the ending slichot is Tzion Halotish Ali L'Shol Shlom Asiraya by Rabbi Yehuda Alevi, who was like wildly in love with the idea of going to Eretz Yisrael and being in Eretz Yisrael. But that's all about future. He wasn't in love with Avraham Avinu getting to Eretz Yisrael. He was in love with the possibility that he would get to Eretz Yisrael. So that in the slichot, like it happens, like it just turns around all of a sudden.
He knows.
What?
He knows.
We don't?
Keynote.
So anyway, that's Moshe Rabbeinu to begin, Tvarim. But in the midst of all this, there is a story that Moshe Rabbeinu tells us about the appointing of judges. Right now, you remember that the judges were appointed as a result of a conversation between Yitro and Moshe Rabbeinu. Yitro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is impossible, you can't do this. You can't just judge everything alone. You have to get judges. And Moshe Rabbeinu was convinced, and he appointed wise people and made them judges. And that's how B'nai Yisrael lived through those 38 years. So that is the story, that story that I just told you, the story from the point of view of Yitro. Yitro, I mean, you know, the same story took place in different people's hearts and minds. And the first time the story is told in Shemot is the story of Yitro. Yitro looked around and said, this is crazy. Right? He wasn't talking about sublime matters. He's just saying, my son-in-law is going to drop dead from working all this, working day and night. So I've got to stop him. So he said, Yitro said, Navolti bo, you'll become rotted on the tree. There won't be anything left of you, right? Because you think that you can do the job by yourself. Though everybody knows this type of person. However, when it came to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was not true that he was that type of person. He wasn't doing it because he didn't want to get an extra job or take time off or lie down in the backyard. It wasn't because of those reasons. And Moshe Rabbeinu thought that Yitro was right. He knew that he was right. The problem that Moshe Rabbeinu had was that when he didn't know the answer to a question, he would appeal directly to God. And God would say to him, Kasher, Taref, Tamei, Tahor. He would tell the answer. Now that level of response was limited to Moshe Rabbeinu. Only Moshe Rabbeinu could say, okay, I'll check with God to see what the correct answer is. And he knew that if he gave over judgment to all these other guys, that would never be repeated. It would never be repeated, right? And so Moshe Rabbeinu could not fathom giving up his job, even though he knew that Yitro was right, that there was no way for him to actually overcome. So what convinced him? What convinced Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the story in Yitro? You have to remember. According to the story in Yitro, because Yitro said, what do you mean, what do you mean the nation of Israel will become rotted on the vine? So Yitro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, look, it's true. Your judgment is much higher quality than anybody else's. And if you add judges, everything will change. That's true. But if you don't add those judges, Yitro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, if you don't add all those judges, then when you die, it'll be the end of Jewish history. Right? Because when you die, no one will be able to replace you. There won't be anybody who could be the Moshe Rabbeinu of the next generation. So the whole thing will just come to an end. That was what Yitro said, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu capitulated. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu capitulated. And we know from that Gemara in Erechim, which I've mentioned several times, that after Moshe Rabbeinu died, Yoshua had thousands, there are different versions of the Gemara, thousands of questions that had piled up on Moshe Rabbeinu's desk that now were inherited by Yoshua bin Nun. And Yoshua bin Nun turned to heaven and said to God, you answered Moshe Rabbeinu when he was alive. Now I'm the one who is supposed to have the answer, so please tell me, what are the answers, the correct answers to these thousands of questions that I have? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, according to the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yoshua bin Nun, that time has ended. You, Yoshua bin Nun, have to figure it out. How are you going to figure it out? You'll take your thumb and you'll go this way and you'll go that way and somehow the answer will come out. But that's the way it's going to be from now on, so that the inheritors of Yoshua bin Nun the Shoftim were recognized as competent and having somehow a relationship with God that ensured that the answers that they gave to the questions they were asked were reputable. Now, this is all a story based on what we learn in Yitro. By the way, I always say this word, which I think is a Hasidic word, but I never saw it printed anywhere. But it should be a Hasidic word. Like, you know, if I could find a Hasidic Rebbe, I would give it to him. You know that the parasha of Matan Torah is called Yitro. Now, generally, parashiyot are called by the first significant word in the pasuk, like Breishit. Reshit Elokim, Noach, Eile told us Noach, Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha, Atzecha, right? The first important word. Now, in that first pasuk, it says Chotein Moshe. The name Moshe is also in that pasuk. And so if you would change the words around a little bit, you could even put Moshe at the beginning of the pasuk, pasuk Aleph. And then the pasuk of Matan Torah would be called Moshe. Instead, it's called Yitro, which seems to be something of an insulting thing for Moshe Rabbeinu. Why should the pasuk of Matan Torah be called Yitro? I mean, it's not, you know, not the way it should be. The answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu was responsible for Matan Torah. He gave the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. He received the Torah from God and he gave it to Bnei Yisrael. Matan Torah. But Yitro was responsible for the ongoing Kabbalat HaTorah. In order to receive the Torah, you had to have some certainty that you were doing the right thing. I mean, as long as Moshe Rabbeinu was around, so you said, okay. Like we said, we have this phrase, Halacha LeMoshe B'Sinai. There are halachot that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us that are not in the Psukim of the Torah, but we're certain that they are correct, because they come from Moshe Rabbeinu. But when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to an end where he dies, where does that certainty come from? How are we going to be certain about about the Torah that we have? Oh, that we got from Yitro. Because Yitro forced us to come to grips with the question of other Dayanim, other poskim, and to conclude that the other poskim were legitimate and correct and that God supported them. And that's how Am Yisrael, how the Jewish people continue to exist. If not for that, we would have died out. We died out like many movements bereft of leadership, of what they think the leadership should be. They just die away. That people can't replace them. You can't replace. And in Hasidut, for example, this idea of leadership is a very important one, because the Rebbe who died was an extraordinary personality, right? In stories that they tell about themselves. So that in order to replace him, you had to have another extraordinary personality, but it wasn't so obvious that the new Rebbe was so extraordinary. So that's the story in Yitro. Now, what's the story in Bamidbar? Here's Moshe Rabbeinu. He's talking to Bnei Yisrael. He wants to tell them this story. So let's read the Pesukim. The first Pesuk says, "V'omar lechem ba'itahi le'mor, lo uchal levadi se'et etchem." I am not able on my own to bear you, to put up with the weight. So here's Moshe Rabbeinu telling the story from his point of view. Right? Yitro came and he said, "You can't do this, Moshe Rabbeinu. It's going to do you in." Moshe Rabbeinu says about himself, "I couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't bear that." So you see that according to Moshe Rabbeinu, there was absolute equality in the assessment of the situation between Yitro and Moshe Rabbeinu. They looked at the situation and said exactly the same thing. Hashem Elokeichem yivaitchem v'hinchem hayom kikovei shamayim l'rov. After all, there's a lot of you. A lot of questions. You're like Kofvei Shemaim Lerov, right? The stars in the sky, right? Hashem Elokei Avotechem Yosef Alechem Kachem Elokamim. I hope that you will have thousandfold more than you are now. Right? So it's as though Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, if I can't handle it now, what's going to happen in another year, or another 2 years, where the numbers keep going up, up and up? So it's like Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't want you to think that I want you to stop being fruitful, stop multiplying, stop being greater and greater. I mean, certainly not. That's not what I want. And then he says the pasuk, you know that there's a minhag. We have it's more than a minhag. It's established that before Tisha B'Av, we always read the parasha of Devarim. Somehow they work it out. The workers out, work it out. And we always read the parasha of Devarim. Now, why do we read the parasha of Devarim? Because of this pasuk, right? Eicha asa levadito chechev masrechem v'rivchem. And if the Baal Kore is a good Baal Kore, he's able to do it, he will read that one pasuk in the tune of Eicha, in order to emphasize for those people who are asleep that this is Tisha B'Av, it's on its way. But further than that, we'll have to look at Rashi. But in any event, he said Eicha asa levadchem tachachem masrechem v'rivchem. Those are three words that describe what goes on in Batei Din. If you've ever been in a Beit Din, you know that people scream at each other and yell at each other, throw things at each other. It's kind of very unpleasant. Then he said, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Havu lechem anashim chachamim unevonim. Right? Chachamim is one kind of wisdom or cleverness, and nevonim is another kind. But you do in the shiltechem, not clear what that is, but the idea is that to take the most impressive people and make them shoftim, v'asim ebe rashishem. V'ta'anu oti v'tomru tova davar she'dibarta la'asot. Now you see that this story that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling is about himself. It has nothing to do with Yitro. It has nothing to do with Yitro. So now you could ask, what happened to Yitro? Moshe Rabbeinu, a nice guy, he's not a nice guy. How come he doesn't mention Yitro? But anybody who has ever read a book, I mean a literature like a novel, if you ever read a novel, you know that everybody tells their own story. That all the stories are real. They're not lies. It's not like you say, you know, a lie is something else. A lie is when you say something that you wouldn't say, but you're in court, so you want to do somebody in, so that's called a lie. But the fact that there's my story and there's Yitro's story, that's not a lie. That's as it is. It really is that way. So here's Moshe Rabbeinu, and he has certain difficulties with Am Yisrael, with judging them. There are a lot of them. They make difficulty. It's make trouble. It's very hard to to deal with them, etc. Okay, let's look at the Rashi. Listen, the Rashi gives us a lot to think about. Here's Rashi. You know, Rashi, he knew about words, and he knew about phrases, and he knew about psukim. He knew about those things. So he says, if you look at the pasuk, Leimor is a word that's usually used when Moshe Rabbeinu quotes God. God spoke to Moshe, and this is what he said. But here it says, "V'omar lechem ba'itahi leimor." Why should Moshe Rabbeinu say about himself leimor? Sort of seems odd. So Rashi says, "Ma'u leimor, amar lehem Moshe, lo me'atzmi ani omer lechem." And the Pi Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi emphasizes, as Moshe Rabbeinu is emphasizing, that he is now teaching Bnei or telling Bnei Yisrael something for which he was instructed by God. Even though he's speaking as though he's speaking for himself, but he wants to make sure that we all know that it's divine intervention. And what was it? Lo chalabadisa etetchem. Efshar shelo ya Moshe yechol ladun et Yisrael. Adam sheotziya memitzrayim v'kara lehem et hayam v'orid et haman v'giz et haslav lo haya yechol ledunam. So Rashi says, how could this be? I mean, what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu could do everything. Right? He did these miracles and those miracles and changed the course of Jewish history. What, he can't judge Bnei Yisrael? How do you compare what Moshe Rabbeinu did to the judgment of Bnei Yisrael? Elakach Amar Lahem. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Hashem Elokeichem Yibarechem. Higdil Ve'irim Etchem. God made you great in number and great in essence. Al dayanechem, you are greater than the dayanim. Natal et ha'onesh mikem He took away the punishment from you, Netano al hadayanim. He took the punishment from you, Bnei Yisrael, and gave it to the dayanim. He explains this. V'chein amar Shlomo, ki mi yuchal nishpot et amcha hakaved hazeh. Shlomo Melech said, who can judge Bnei Yisrael? Efshar, mi shekatuv bo, v'yechkam mikol adam. You mean the guy, Shlomo Melech, about whom it is said, v'yechkam mikol adam, that he's the wisest man of all. He says, Omer, mi yuchal nishpot. He's going to say that there's no one who may be a judge. Of course he could be a judge. He could be the judge. Elakach amas Shlomo. Ein dayanei umazo ki dayanei shomer shar ha'umot. The judges of this nation are different than the judges of other nations. Shein dan v'horei umakeh v'choneich umatei edino v'gozel ein b'kach klo. Because if a judge in another country, another nation, messes up, kills the wrong guy, or makes the wrong guy pay, or gives this guy some punishment he doesn't deserve, ein b'kach klo. Ani im chiyavti mamon shelo kidin nefashot ani midva. That's the halacha. That if the judge, the Jewish judge, falsely obligates someone to pay, then nefashot ani nidma. I am liable to be actually killed for that. Shene'emar v'kava et kov ehem nafesh. So Rashi has this difficulty. He can't understand what Moshe Rabbeinu found so difficult. After all, he was Moshe Rabbeinu. And after all, God was with him. So shouldn't that produce a powerful package where Moshe Rabbeinu would be able to judge and God would be behind him? So Rashi does not understand what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. And therefore he falls back on the following idea, Rashi. Rashi falls back on the following idea, that to be a judge in Israel is especially difficult. And the more cases that you have, the more cases that you have to adjudicate, the more likely it is that you'll make a mistake. And when you make a mistake, your punishment is really going to be very severe. So Rashi retranslates it, and he says, there's a lot of you, Moshe Rabbeinu, a lot of you Jews, a lot of you people, all of you have shilas, you're all coming to ask me questions, you're all coming for me to judge in disputes between Ploni and Almoni. What's the likelihood that I'll make a mistake? Tremendous. But if I make a mistake, then I'm liable for capital punishment, even if the mistake was about a financial settlement. So Rashi has to go pretty far out of his way to prove to us that Moshe Rabbeinu has a real ta'ana, that there's really something going on. And Rashi thinks that the simple position is that somebody who could do all these miraculous things that Moshe Rabbeinu did should certainly be able to judge Am Yisrael. Okay, let's go to the next. So Rashi says, it's like a Rashi kind of question. He gets him the Medrash, but the Rashi likes these kinds of questions. V'chi ki kofvei ha-shamayim hayu b'oto hayom. They weren't yet uncountable. Kofvei ha-shamayim is like, you can't count them. V'chi v'halo lo hayu ela shishim ribo. There are only 600,000. 600,000 is a number that you can count. Now v'inchem hayom. So what was it about today? What happened today that Moshe Rabbeinu noticed? Inchem mishulim kiyom. You, Bnei Yisrael, are like the day itself. Kayamim kachama v'chalavana v'kakochavim. It's not inchem. Inchem hayom kekofbei hashamayim. Not that you are numbered like the stars in the heaven, but that your existence is as powerful as that of the stars and the... There's also an idea that Rashi likes and appears in other places. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yosef Alechem Chachem Elf Amim, Now Shuv Eivarech Etchem Chashem David Lechem. Why does the Pasuk repeat that God should bless B'nai Yisrael? El Amrulo, Moshe Ata Noten Kitzva LeBirchoteinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, you are putting a limit on Abracha, Kvar Vtiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Et Avraham. God spoke to Abraham and said, Asherim Yuchal Ish Limanot, that no one will be able to count us. Emola Amar Lahem, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, Zo Mishalihu, Aval Hu Yivarech Etchem Asher Dibel Lachem. So this is like a kind of a strange, you see the Pasuk again. Hashem Elokei Vodichem Yosef Alechem Ka'el Pamim V'yivarech Etchem Asher Dibel Lachem. What do you mean, V'yivarech Etchem? What is this bracha? After all, God has already told Avram Avinu that they will be like the grains of sand and the stars in the sky. So what do we need another bracha? So Rashi says this odd idea that Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave his bracha. And even though there's this ultimate bracha from God, that doesn't mean that there couldn't be a bracha from an individual. Even though it's the same idea, or the both brachot are the same idea, nevertheless, the individual bracha does not contradict the divine bracha, even though the divine bracha is kind of all inclusive. I didn't quite understand what Rashi was talking about. I mean, I didn't understand what Rashi was talking about. I thought maybe that's somehow the nature of bracha. The brachot are not. In other words, even an ultimate bracha doesn't perhaps contain all the shades of bracha, all the kind of different bracha aspects, and therefore you could always give a bracha to someone who has received the bracha. In other words, even if you think the bracha that you got is a lot better than the bracha I could give, like in some way, nevertheless, you know, you would be remiss if you didn't add your bracha onto that. That's what Rashi is saying, but I admit that I don't quite understand it. I don't quite understand what Rashi means. Now we come to the Tisha B'Av Pasuk. Pasuk Yibet Eizcha Isal Vadika Rechem Asachem Berivchem. So Rashi says, Im Omar Lekabel Sechar Lo Ochal Zohi Shamarati Lachem Lo Ma'atzmi Ani Omer Lachem. So as Rashi says, this goes back to the Rashi at the beginning. And it says, even if I would say that I'll do it and get paid for it, right? It wasn't getting, Moshe Rabbeinu was not getting paid. Lo uchal, I still couldn't do it. Zoi shamati lechem lo ma'atzmi ani omer lechem ela mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, this is it. Takes a little bit of a side. Let's go on. Torchachem masachem v'rivchem. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu says to Bnei Yisrael. What is Torchachem? Melameid sh'ayu Yisrael tarchanim. You see from here that Bnei Yisrael were annoying. Annoyers. Hayah echad mehem ro'eh et ba'o dino notzak badin. One guy would see that his protagonist would win. So he would say to the court, no, I have more witnesses. I have more proofs, right? We know that's the halakha. If you go to the court and you say, I have more information, more witnesses, more, then they have to listen to the case. They have to listen to the case again. So he says, Yeshli Eidim Lavi, Yeshli Ra'ayot Lavi, Mosipa Ni Alechem Dayanim. And I want you to add Dayanim. So in other words, he doesn't have anything. He doesn't really have information or witnesses or an argument, but he can come and say that he will do that, right? Mazachem, the next Rashi, Melamecha Yuapikorsim, that there were Jews already in the desert who are called by that name, Apikorsim, because some people don't believe in God, don't believe in the Torah, don't believe in something or other crucial. Hekdim Moshe Latzeit Amru, Ma Rabba Ben Amram Latzeit, Shemeno Shafui, B'Toch Beito, So if Moshe Rabbeinu left his house earlier in the morning, they said, was he going out early in the morning? Maybe there's something happening at home. He came out late. Amru Marab Ben Amram Shalom Latzeit. Ba'atem Svurim Yoshev Yoet Alichem Eitzot Rishut V'choshev Alichem Machshavot. So you see, people start talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what Rashi explains. Matzachem, your great weight, the weight of Bnei Yisrael. There were people in Bnei Yisrael who would try to malign the good name of Moshe Rabbeinu. How do you do that? You say, you have to talk about something, you have to say something that's true. That's the only way that you can, like real Lashon Hara is always based on something true. So what is it that the people said about Moshe Rabbeinu? They said, oh, he left his house early this morning, which was true. And then they said, why would he leave his house early this morning? Maybe he's like, you know, doing some, he's getting together with his friend and he's going to blow up the Aron Kodesh or something like that. Right? Or if Moshe Rabbeinu came out late, they say, oh, he's late. What was he doing at home? Why did he stay late? Maybe he was planning the next insurrection. Right? So that once you have enemies, everything becomes very difficult. Rivchem, right? That they were screaming and yelling in their tents. Okay, now just one more pasuk with Rashi, Yud Gimel. Havu lachem anashim chachamim nevonim liyiduim lishivtechem asimim lirashichem. So all of these phrases, all these words have to be explained, and Rashi does it. Havu lachem is minu atzmechem ledavar. Make yourself ready. Make yourself ready, Moshe Rabbeinu said. Anashim, chit halel datcha anashim, this is an anti-feminist comment by Rashi. Because according to Rashi, it makes sense that a dayan cannot be, a woman cannot be a dayan. Right? Makes sense. In spite of the fact, I know that Deborah was a judge, in spite of that fact, the Tosus says that a woman cannot be a judge. V'chi yitalel datcha nashim, ma talmud lomar anashim, tzadikim. And as you know, that the word anashim in Hebrew means either men or angels. Ish, the word ish also means an angel. An angel is a person who could only, is a thing that can only do the right thing. So that parallels tzadikim. That's how Rashi gets from anashim to tzadikim, right? Then there are chachamim. Chachamim ksufim nevonim. Nevonim. What are nevonim? Mivinim davar mitoch davar. Zohi shesha'al ariyosid rabbi yosi. This is the Medrash. Ma ben chachamim lenevonim. Chacham domeh l'shulchani ashir. Chacham is like a rich money changer. Right? L'shulchani, he has a table. You put down the money, the coins that you have in one currency, and you try, and you want to buy coins in a different currency. That was the Shulchani. But since there were different currencies, even along the Mediterranean, in the time of the Moroi, like the Philistines, the Jews, the Ugaritics, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, they all had currency. And the currency was all made up of precious metal. That's how it worked. So if you had a silver dollar, remember the silver dollars? Mm-hmm. If you had a silver dollar, so you wanted to change it for a Ugaritic dollar. So really, they all had the same value. A dollar was a dollar. It didn't matter where it was made. I mean, I'm describing a certain situation. I know that it could be that you could bring proof that there were other situations. But I want this to describe this situation. You had a dollar, you had a Jewish dollar, and you wanted to change it for a Ugaritic dollar or Babylonian dollar. So you went to the Shulchani. Now, what did the Shulchani do? He could take out a Babylonian dollar, give it to you, and take some small commission. But that was not the issue. The issue was that as the coin was used more and more, it was worn down. And there was the coin had a bas relief picture on it. You know, you've seen these, you know, they discovered something in some place. So there was a coin. And let's say on the coin they had a head of a of an Indian. And because the coin was used for many, many years, that you rubbed it and rubbed it and rubbed it, and there was less silver in that coin than there was in a new Babylonian coin. So the Shulchani had to decide how much your coin was worth. Because it started out with the real value. It's just like dollars once had real value. You don't remember that, do you? Remember the dollars used to have silver threads in them? Don't remember that either. Am I the only old person here?
No.
But there was a time. There was a time when paper dollars had a silver thread in them. And that silver thread was valued at a dollar. And then, as time went on, that changed from actually having money that had value to having money in Fort Knox, which sort of backed up the paper. The paper was nothing, but it was backed up by real dollars in Fort Knox. And then somebody figured out that we have this capacity for imagination. I give you a dollar, and you could imagine that it's a dollar. So Fort Knox went out of business. You know, they sold it off to Indians or something who still thought that you needed a dollar. So the Shulchani Ashir, East City.
It was 1930s actually. They stopped basing the dollar on actual gold.
In Fort Knox.
Yeah, right.
Silver was used in the paper dollars.
Right, that was even earlier.
See, there's always somebody who knows something.
No, I just happened
tricky,
to look,
just
I
tricky.
I just happened to look this up about 3 weeks ago.
In anticipation of this shayur?
Yeah, clearly, that was I didn't know it then, but clearly that was.
Okay, so Erevin, now let's get back to the story. Ma bein, he says, Zoi sheshoel arius et rabbi yosi. Ma bein chachamim l'nevonim. What's the difference between someone who's called a chacham and someone who's called a nevon? Chacham tomer l'shulchani ashir. A chacham is like a rich banker. Shemeviim lo dinirim le'ot ro'eh u'kshayim meviim lo yoshev v'toheh. When you bring him work, do he works? And when you don't bring him any work, he just sits there and thinks about life, right? Navon ro'eh. So a navon, somebody who's a navon, he works when they bring him something to do. But when they don't bring him any money, he runs out into the community and tries to find business. That's called a navon. I think we can stop here. So that what I've tried to indicate is that Moshe Rabbeinu tells the story in the beginning of Dvarim about the appointment of the Dayanim in order to emphasize the fact that he himself, Moshe Rabbeinu, had doubts. He didn't know whether you could do this, and that a Kaddish Baruch Hu ensured that the result would be positive. Now this is something that he could not tell the people when it was Yitro, because Yitro did not represent God's opinion, and even though Yitro was a smart person and knew a lot about religion, but he did not have the inside track to God's will. So Yitro just presented himself as having an opinion. And Moshe Rabbeinu agreed that Yitro was right, but it wasn't sufficient. It was necessary, but not sufficient. And therefore, Yitro needed further elucidation. Moshe Rabbeinu had to explain to them why he agreed to do as Yitro directed, and that was because that was what God wanted, and that God assured that it would work out, that there would be some way of resolving the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was leaving the Dayanut. So Moshe Rabbeinu himself, he said, I had certain doubts, but when it really became impossible for me to go on, so then I worked it out with God. Not with Yitro, but with God. And Rashi emphasizes twice that it was God who was the behind the scenes in creating this new kind of reality. Now, I would look at the Svat Abed on the other side. I don't know. Sometimes I get a picture painted by Rembrandt that has to do with the Parsha of the Shavua. But this time, you like
the Arch of Titus.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
No, it's from the Arch of Titus. You don't really see the arch. Yeah, it's good. I guess. That's something to do with the Beit HaMikdash, right? I guess that's the idea. So I want to look at the Svat Emet. The Svat Emet, he knew the Chumash, and he knew the Rashi, and he knew the Ramban that we didn't learn. But you could learn it, it's a good idea. So he says, Eisom Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom Ra'a Otam B'Shalvatam Amar Eicha Asal Abadi. Moshe Rabbeinu said, how can I do this on my own? Yeshaya Amar, the Navi, he's quoting the Medrash Rabbah. Yeshaya, the Navi said, Eicha Eita Lizon. Now he uses the word Eicha, the same word that Moshe Rabbeinu uses. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Eicha Salavadi, how can I bear this burden? And Yeshaya said, Eicha Eita Lizon. How could is it possible that she has become like a prostitute, B'nei Yisrael? Yirmiyah Mer Eicha Yeshva Badad. And Yirmiyah said, Eicha Yeshva Badad. It's of course in Megillat Eicha. Megillat Eicha was written by Yirmiyah HaNavi. וכבר כתב מזה במקום, כתבנו מזה במקום אחר. I've already explained this elsewhere, כי כל המכשולות שהיו אחר כך בא מזה שלא נמשכו אחר מדרגת משה רבינו עליו השלום. And so, the Svat Emet says, look, we've done the worst things that you could imagine. And we've been punished for the worst things that we have done. But how is it possible that we continue to act in the same way? Why don't we learn? Right? And he says, Lo nimshichu achar madrekat Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom. It's all because we lost touch with the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now he's going to explain what he means by that. He says, Lichtiv banim gidalti v'romamti. The pasuk says, I have grown sons and exalted them. Also, Yoda Shor Konehu, the shore, the ox, knows where it gets fed. The Chamor Ebus Ba'alav, and the Chamor knows the trough of its owners. Yisrael Lo Yada. So this is like a strange pasuk. It's true that the animals know where their food is. And it's also true that Yisrael Lo Yada, but what's the connection? Anybody can, even Israel will go to find food. You know, if there's food, if you open up a cafeteria and don't charge it, they'll all come in to eat. What does this pasuk possibly mean? Ainyanu, svadamet. The meaning of this pasuk, he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu herim otanu mikol hateva, Liyot nimshach aga elyona lemala min ha-hasaga. That in fact, we are different than the animals. We are made, right? Heirim otana. God elevated us from all the rest of nature. Liyot nimshach achar anhaga, to be drawn after the leadership elyona, the highest form of leadership. Lemala min hasagah, even higher than understanding. Velachein ayad davar gadol meod liyot nimshach achar zeh haderech. And this would have been a great achievement to be schlepped along in this way into greatness. Aval HaKetuv omer, but the pasuk says, Yadashor Kodeh. It's the animal that knows where it should be. Kol man da'ovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKol le'melech minei, Kach mita, Shehabeima ein laklal da'at. Avo pikeinim, Shechet achar manhig shelah. He says that Kol man da'ovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was all to teach, to learn from the chokhmata, from that wisdom, shabeima ein laklal da'at avo pikeinim shechet achar manhig shelah. That we should look into the world, and what do we see in the world? That even the animals know where they belong. They know where they should go. Cows, where they milk the cows, the milking reference, something or other. But in English that's a name.
Cowshed
is a shed in which there are cows. But there's a special place where they milk the cows.
Machriva,
right. Okay, give up. What?
I think it's just called dairy.
Okay, it's not the word I'm looking for. But it doesn't matter. So that we should be looking at the animals. And what will we see if we look at the animals? That they know where they belong. Because they want to get fed. Because they want to eat. So they go to where their ba'alim, where their owners have determined that the food should go. That's something that they know. Right? And that we should be able to imitate that. Mitzad ze yicholim limashech acharav, kabehema achar haro'eh. In this way, we would be able to be schlepped along, following leaders, great leaders, just as the animals follow their noses to get to where they belong. The Moshe Katuv etein v'chul eitzon marito adam atem uvemet dor harishon kach haya. And it's true that the first generation was such a generation. Moshe Katuv Moshcheini acharecha darutza. Moshcheini liyot nimshach min derech hateva. That at the beginning, Am Yisrael was nimshach, was schlepped along to follow Moshe Rabbeinu b'derech hateva. That's normal. Kebehimash nimshachenu acharecha. That just like animals, we were following you, Moshe Rabbeinu, because we recognized your leadership, your greatness, your spiritual value. That's what Bnei Yisrael was. That's a sign of their greatness. That they were able to follow God. They were able to follow where they, because they knew. What do you mean follow? You know that you can't be that way, but you could follow that way. You could go close to that way. You could be there, so to speak. Ita Yisrael lo yada l'she'avah. Yisrael lo yada about the past. Ami lo itno b'nei l'hava. Yakadosh Baruch Hu etzlo avar v'atid shaveh. That's why the pasuk says, it reads the past and the future. V'yicholim b'nei Yisrael argish min ha'avar v'atid. That Bnei Yisrael could feel at the same time the past and the future. Al yedei shenimshachin acharav kebehema. That just by going with God, by following God, like the animals follow the leaders, we could be close to the past and the future. And then he says, v'torin parasha zo ben ha-mitzarim. And we always read this parasha of Devarim. Bein HaMetzarim is between Yud Zayin Shivasu B'Tamuz and Tish Abba'av Lizkor L'Shtokei Kachar Ma'aseh Avoteinu HaRishonim שנמשכו אחר הקדוש ברוך הוא, כמו שכתוב, אלכה ואשובה אל אישי הראשון, I will go back to my first husband, who איש ההתלהבות הגדול, the great enthusiasm שהיה לנו בראשונה, להיות נמשך אחריו ולשכוח כל עולם הזה. So the Mesilat Yesharim says two things. It says stage one, we kind of follow God. Even though that statement doesn't mean anything. We're here, God is there, and we don't really have a connection, but we can, it's a natural thing to find somebody to follow, to find something to follow, but that was replaced by Moshe Rabbeinu, where we could actually see it, we could actually touch him, we could know what was going on. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. So that according to the Sfat Emet, there's another story in the Parsha of Devarim. And that other story in the Parsha of Devarim is this, that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to appoint judges. And Bnei Yisrael said to him, no, we just learned this Sfat Emet. And the Sfat Emet says, we need unique leadership. We need leadership that we can trust. We don't need divided leadership. We don't need a Rosh Memshalah and a Rosh of a Ramatkal and another guy in this kind of agency and that kind of agency. We need one guy. We need one guy, Moshe Rabbeinu. And so when Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going to appoint judges, they all realized that they were going to lose. They could lose Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, no. You'll be led by Chachamim and Nevonim. And Chachamim and Nevonim are people who, the higher up you get on the rungs of leadership, the more they are in accord with each other, because they're trying to tell you what the Torah wants of you, so that it would in fact be okay. So that's what the Nesilat, that's what the Sfat Emet is saying. That the normal thing for Bnei Yisrael would be to follow God. Following God proved to be too difficult for them, so they could follow Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to end his reign as the chief justice of the Jewish people and appoint many other judges. So the people said, so who are we going to follow? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Chachamim u'Nevonim, they're the ones who will know, who will not be fighting small-mindedly with each other. They are the ones who will lead you again, just as the behemah is led, so too will you be led. Have a good show.